Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Let's give it up for GEICO for supporting Steve Austin Show for all these years. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. GEICO has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. Go to GEICO.com and start saving cash. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding thing you do today.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California, sitting here at the Broken Skull Studios at my desk with an ice cold pint of Broken Skull IPA sitting in front of me. Hang on, swig a beer for the working man. Oh, hell yeah! What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on in your life? First show back from Thanksgiving. Last conversation was with Bull James. Here we are, and I'm sitting here alone, just chilling in front of a microphone. I have been wanting to do a one-man clusterfuck for quite some time, try to get my mojo back, and thought I would shoot the breeze and just tell a few stories. And some of the stories are from my journey with my wife and my mother-in-law in a ride service where I thought we were going to damn near lose our life. All kinds of headaches, hassles, and horse shit. And, spoiler, in-laws drank all my fucking beer. Can't blame them for liking beer. It is the best IPA in America. But you could have saved a brother one. Hello, ain't coming back next year. Son of a bitch. I'm sitting here drinking beer, about to do this show for you. I've already done it. I'm recording the open. And I'm getting ready to haul ass. First thing in the morning, head down to Broken Skull Ranch 2.0 to get ready for my deer hunt. All kinds of stuff I'm going to talk about in the podcast. Got a couple projects I'm working on. My 66 pickup truck. My 74 Chevy Camaro Z28. Working on that thing. Going to upgrade it a little bit, put some suspension and some handling things on it. My buddy's trying to talk me into an LS swap. I've got a 383 stroker motor in there that's got 300 miles on it. It's a badass motor, runs hot. I don't know why I'd want to put an LS in there. Well, for the obvious reasons, but I'm such a cheapskate, I'd have to do something with the 383 motor, which would involve buying a new car. Towards the end of the podcast, I'm going to talk about putting a couple of cars on the chopping block. I'm looking probably to sell my 1995 Ford Bronco with 42,000 miles on it. Came with manual mirrors. I put electric mirrors on it because those other ones were the drizzling shits. I'm a second owner of that thing, so if you're a collector, you wouldn't be interested in it because it doesn't have original paint because I had to paint part of it. But that's a badass Bronco, and you'd be hard-pressed to find a cleaner one that is a 1995 model. Probably going to sell my 2017 Corvette Z06 with the 07 package, 2,000 miles. It's a cool car. I'd rather have a pickup truck. It's just too difficult to get in and out of, but that's a badass car. God damn, 650 horsepower, 650 torque. That is a motherfucker. If I don't sell it, it looks cool sitting in the shop. And then probably going to sell my KLX 450. It's time for me to get off two wheels. That damn bike, that's a 2008, probably has three true hours on it. Three. Put a heavier spring in the back end, put a front end stabilizer on the front. You can't find a newer, cleaner 08 KLX 450 than mine. Anyway, throw that out there. If you're interested, message me on Instagram. Send me a DM. Steve Austin, BSR. Everything is badass. All of my stuff is in good shape. Hey, cool show. I'm shooting the breeze. One man clusterfuck. Talking about my Thanksgiving holidays, how we almost met our demise. God damn, and I did it for safety, and we almost met our demise. Heading down to Nevada for a mule deer hunt, a lot of things going on, and some good news whenever I can announce it. I'm just waiting for the heads up to be able to announce it. I want to thank everybody for watching the Broken Skull Sessions on the WWE Network. I'm proud to be back on that network, and if you subscribe to it, it's $9.99 a month, and you get my show along with all kinds of great programming and all of the pay-per-views for free. Well, I mean, it's $9.99 a month. Hell, that's a hell of a damn bargain. My next guest is my good friend, Bill Goldberg. Who's next? You're next, motherfucker. Bill Goldberg, coming up on the Broken Skull Sessions. Had a fine time talking to him and talking to some of the top names and the biggest names in the history of the pro wrestling business and people from all of walks of life, for that matter, that have achieved a high level of success. But specifically right now, I am focusing on professional wrestlers. Hope you enjoy the show. Me shooting the breeze. Let's get started. Hey, man, you know what's a good idea? Paying off high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, and saving money. Well, the new year is just about here. Why don't you make yourself a New Year's resolution to get your business straight, refinance your credit card balances, and save with a credit card consolidation loan from our guys at Lightstream. With Lightstream, you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees and get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. Again, there are no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, and no prepayment penalties. The online application is quick and easy, plus you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Just for listeners of the Steve Austin Show, apply now to get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Austin. Again, that's Lightstream. LightStream.com/Austin for an additional discount. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Austin for more information.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
All right, I better work the show. I'm sitting over here at the Broken Skull Studios drinking a Broken Skull IPA. Hell, I came over from next door, sat down, and started writing some notes. This is the first podcast I've done since, Thanksgiving, when I had my conversation with Bull James. And on speaking of Bull James, he brought me over here a fifth of Don Julio Tequila Blanco. And so I made some Broken Skull Ranch margaritas with that Blanco tequila from Don Julio. You know, I'll tell you what, I would still recommend Patron as my go-to tequila in the Broken Skull Ranch margaritas. You can have all that smooth stuff, and this stuff wasn't too smooth, but it just didn't have enough edge to it. So if I'm going to do a side-by-side, Don Julio versus Patron Silver for my particular blend of margarita, I'm going Patron. Trademark flavor, just enough bite. The other one was good, but I would give Patron the edge on that. That's not a paid advertisement. That is just me voicing my opinion, doing a side-by-side comparison of two silver tequilas. Shout out and thank you to Bull James for bringing that damn fifth over, because it ain't going to go to waste. If I run out of Patron, that is my backup system. Or if I have a guest over that prefers that, I'll let them drink it. Thank you very much, Bull. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. No, not happy Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving's over. You know what? It is, as I record the opening of this podcast, it's December 8th. God dang, man. This whole year has flown by. Son of a gun. People already have their Christmas decorations out. Some people still have their Halloween decorations out. You're supposed to pull them damn things up. Now the Christmas stuff is out. What's that, 17 more days? Hell, and when this podcast drops on the 10th, 8 more days, it'll be my birthday. Hell, I turned double nickel this year. And then we head into the next year, 2020. God dang, man. Time has flown by, son of a bitch. It's already the end of the year. Anyway, here I sit over here at the studio about just to shoot the shit. I've been wanting to have a one-man clusterfuck for a long time. I don't need a guest for today's show. I'm just going to sit here and shoot the breeze and drink my beer. I came over here, got me a glass out of the freezer, put it underneath the draft over there, and pour me a cold one. Made a few notes, and now I'm just over here, kind of sitting here in my man cave, shooting the breeze. I think I'm going to dim down the lights here just a little bit. It's kind of bright in here. And drink a few beers and talk to you guys on this here microphone. Swig a beer here. I don't know what everybody did for Thanksgiving. A lot of times we would go down to South Texas and visit with my folks. And, man, that's 1,500 miles there, and it's 1,500 miles back, and it's just too far to get down to every damn year. So last year, we spent Thanksgiving with my wife's side of the family over in a town called San Clemente. I guess as the highway goes, it's about 80 miles. So that's where we went. And man, I tell you what, I was reading about all the weather situations and all the headaches, hassles, and horse shit that people were going through with all the flights being canceled for all the storms. And then you look on all the interactive maps and see all the highways jammed up. Thanksgiving can be a real clusterfuck. Now, it's a great time, and it's a great event, and it's a great occasion and a great tradition to get together with your family members and watch football and eat turkey and just be thankful for what you have and shoot the breeze and visit with each other. That's what it's all about. And it's all fine and dandy. But anyway, I figured this year what we would do would go back to see my wife's side of the family in San Clemente. And I guess it's about 80 miles away. Last time we went, it was traffic bad as hell. Traffic was a drizzling shits. And I figured, okay, this time I've been using some ride services a lot lately. So I figured I would use a ride service to get myself, Kristen, and her mother over to her side of the family in San Clemente. And that would take the stress and pressure of me of just sitting there having to drive through all of the LA traffic to get to our destination and have Thanksgiving. Then once I got there, hell, I loaded up about a case of Broken Skull IPA in my Yeti cooler and took it down there because I didn't want to show up empty-handed. Kristen baked a couple of pecan pies. You never want to show up empty-handed. You got to do your part. And they'd had all the turkey and stuffing and everything else covered. So I just figured, you know what? If we use a ride service to go down there, it'll be easier. That way I can have a couple of beers when I get there and the drive home, another ride service, and I don't have to be, you know, behind the wheel because I want to enjoy myself and have a couple of beers. So we did that. So what we did was, Kristen's mother lives about 50 miles away in a Thousand Oaks. So we figured, okay, we'll use the ride service to get her to Marina Del Rey. Once we get her to Marina Del Rey, then we'll all load up in another car from a ride service and go to San Clemente. So we did that. And sure enough, on schedule, here comes Kristen's mom, Marlene, and she's got her walker, and we get her out of the vehicle. And I specified a luxury sedan, like a Lincoln Continental or something like that, but it was a big-ass damn Suburban, an SUV. Now, I love SUVs. I drive an SUV, and I have a pickup truck. But when you're trying to get your 82-year-old mother-in-law out of a damn SUV and she's using a walker, man, you can meet some challenges. I hadn't even been drinking yet, but I needed a beer after what was to happen. The drive service shows up. We extricate Marlene from the vehicle in about a five-minute process. Coming down them steps just ain't very easy for her. We got her in the house, visited for a second. I set up the other ride, and we loaded up. Here comes the other ride service, and I said, hey, man, can you clear out the front seat? Because I want to put my mother-in-law up there with you so I can ride back here in the back with my wife. Because we can't stick Marlene in the back seat, the back seat, because she can't get back here. And so the shotgun seat makes the most sense to put my mother-in-law. And here's why. When we get out of the SUV to get her in the house, Kristen says, Mom, did you remember to put in your hearing aids? What? Mom, did you remember to put in your hearing aids? Oh, honey, I forgot my hearing aids. That's when I knew it was going to be one hell of a goddamn long-ass day. So anyway, my mother-in-law's over. She's doing just fine. She goes to the bathroom. We all get ready. The other ride comes in. We load up in there. And that driver's kind of looking at me when I put her in that shotgun seat because I guess he knows, you know, what's going to happen. So we get on the road, and we're driving. We got about an 80-mile drive, give or take, whatever it was. And it's raining like a bastard. Traffic like a bastard. People texting. Nobody's using their blinkers. It is just utter chaos on the mean streets of Los Angeles, California. Everybody's going to visit their loved ones. God dang, I wish everybody would have stayed home. Anyway, because it's such a long drive, and it's not that it's long in miles. You know, like when you're going about 70, 80 miles in Texas, and you're running down the freeway, shit, you blink your eye and you're there because you're running 75, 80 miles an hour. But in Los Angeles traffic, in the rain, with everybody going stop and go and no one using their blinkers, and there's some other things going on, which I'm about to get to, man, it was a long process. So I'm over there. My wife is sitting behind the driver. I'm sitting behind Marlene, my mother-in-law, who's riding shotgun. And as we're driving along, she's noticing, you know, all these different things about, oh, how dark it is, because it's very dark because of all the clouds. And she's asking the driver questions. When she asks the driver questions, she can't hear his answers. So I'm back here behind her in my seat, and I'm just reading my social media. I'm reading my tweets on my Twitter account, and I'm looking on my Instagram account and thinking about maybe making a post or whatever. But I'm just basically trying to kill time, because when you're stuck in the back of a vehicle, it's not like you want to have a private conversation because you have a driver in there. You're just kind of sitting there twiddling your thumbs, and if you ain't got nothing to do, you're extremely bored. So to combat the boredom that goes with sitting in the back of a damn SUV trying to make this an easier process on myself so I can have a couple of beers when I get there, I'm just trying to let things ride and be cool, because there's no way that you can speed up a 2 to 2.5 hour process. You're stuck in that back seat whether you like it or not. So anyway, we're driving along. I'm reading Twitter. I'm reading Instagram. And, you know, a couple times I noticed that the driver had veered out of the lane a little bit. And then a couple times I realized that when the traffic stopped in front of us, sometimes our driver would kind of hit the brakes a little bit too late. And they was kind of like, you know, damn near rear-ended some people. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, whatever. You know, the guy's just kind of an aggressive driver, and he's up there a little bit close. And sometimes he's kind of in the other lane, but he's still doing good. I'm reading my social media. I'm reading Instagram. I'm reading Twitter. And all of a sudden, man, you know, everybody starts braking in front of us, and it gets real close. And I'm like, ah! I kind of sell it with an audible level. I'm like, hey! Okay, go back to my phone, make sure the driver's okay. And here we kept going down the road, and all of a sudden, all right, I'd read about as much social media as I could read, so I started looking in the rearview mirror. And we're sitting behind the passenger seat in the rearview seat. When you're sitting in the rear seat behind the passenger, you can look in the rearview mirror, and you can see the driver's eyes. So I started watching the driver's eyes, and man, that dude's eyes are getting heavy and heavier and heavier, and he's closing them, they're closed for about 2 seconds, and then they come open real quick. And I'm like, hey, shit, is the driver going to sleep? Is that just me? Sure enough, kind of swerves in the other lane a little bit, comes back, his eyes start closing, they're about halfway closed. Close them again, he jerks back up. Man, I'm on my phone, because I was trying to kayfabe him, I don't want to say nothing, send my wife a text, hey, I think the driver's falling asleep. I didn't want to say nothing. I was trying to give the guy a little bit of a break. He scared the shit out of me, but, you know, I want to bust him on it. And as soon as my wife reads the tweet, she goes, sir, are you okay? Are you okay to drive? Are you okay, sir? And, man, he starts apologizing. He goes, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. He's trying to no-sell it. And you can look at this guy's eyes. There's no telling how many hours he's been driving. And you know what? I've been in the same place that guy's been, you know, sometimes when I got real tired behind the wheel. You can be out there on the road, and sometimes you start dozing off. You just get tired, and you kind of shake yourself out of it, or you roll the window down and get some fresh air, or you pull over on the side of the road, you walk up down the highway or around the cars a few times, and you get back in there, and you start nodding off again. Oh, shit! Damn near pull off the side of the road. Man, I'm not going to let that happen again. I ain't going to let that happen again. 5 minutes later, there you are, dozing off. It's just that body's response to being overly tired, and just ain't nothing you can do about it. Well, this is where that guy was. I don't know how long he'd been working, but he'd hit the wall. And I'm sitting to myself, God damn, I got this Uber driver so we could expedite the whole thing or process of getting there. I can chill out. I can relax. Once I get there, I can have a couple of my Broken Skull IPAs and then rely on another driver to get back to the house. I'm not going to put anybody's life in danger because I've had a few drinks, And because this is a professional driver, it'll be safe, and I'll just put the wheel in their hands so we can relax and enjoy the Thanksgiving process. Shit, by the time we had realized this sumbitch was about to fall asleep, we were only halfway through our journey. We still had 40 miles to go. Now, when we was on the 405, it was kind of jam-packed. We was going every now and then. We'd get going 50 miles an hour. Then we'd slow down. It'd be 20. It'd be bumper to bumper. Then all of a sudden, man, it's back to green light racing. The freeway clears up on the other side of Irvine, and we're going 75 miles an hour. Now, I'm glad we're going 75 miles an hour because that means we're going to get there faster, but the sumbitch is still swerving up and down the side of the road. And I'm in the back seat, and because Marlene ain't got her hearing aids on, that gives me the creative liberty to sit in the back seat and go, "Hey, Marlene, how's Wendy doing?" "Oh, yeah, our dogs are doing great." And I start talking real loud just so I can jar the driver's eardrums to keep his ass awake. And then I look over at my wife. "Yeah, we got that meeting this coming Monday. And then once we get done with that, we'll go to Nevada." You start loud talking. You've been in the same car when someone starts doing that, so you keep your ass awake. Then my wife starts doing it, and she's got the loudest voice in the world. I'm thinking, God damn it. I'm tracking the ride on my damn iPhone. I got it on the GPS. Finally, we're about 14 miles to go, and this sumbitch is still nodding off, and he's jerking. He's doing everything humanly possible to keep his damn eyes open. And I'm still trying to no-sell it. I'm just doing a lot of loud talking like I am right now on this damn microphone. This sumbitch is causing me grief. If I would have had any hair on my head, it would have been silver. But since I'm bald, you know, it didn't do a damn thing. It made my goatee silver. You remember that damn movie, The Ten Commandments? When Moses goes up on top of that mountain and gets those Ten Commandments from God, when he went up there, he had brown hair. When he came back down, he had brown and silver streaks in his damn beard and goatee. That's where I was on that process. Swig a beer. Anyway, we finally get there. We had a good time. Great seeing the in-laws. They had a real organization process going on there. I didn't do a goddamn thing but sit there and wait for the food, drank a couple of beers, and then finally we started eating. You know, when you load up that first plate, you just load up on too much shit. And I'm not really a turkey guy, and I'm not really a ham guy, but I loaded up too much on the proteins. Most of the stuff I want is the mashed potatoes, the dressing, lots of gravy, and a cranberry. Not the fresh cranberry. I want that fake cranberry that comes in the can so you can still see the markings of the can on the cranberry. That's the stuff that I like. So I loaded up my plate, and I overdid it on the proteins, but I didn't want to throw all my shit in the damn trash can and reload on carbs because that had been not a good thing to do. So I outworked myself on that first plate because I was dying of hunger. I had drank three or four beers, and I was ready to eat. So then by the time it came down for dessert, I wanted them two pecan pies that my wife had made. And so I loaded up on pecan pies, I loaded up on pumpkin pies, and I had an absolute blast. And so then you do the eating process, and it comes to cleaning up the dishes. So I go in there and volunteer my services. They politely kick me out, tell me I'm a guest. And I figured, okay, I'll take it in stride, go out to the garage and get me another Broken Skull IPA. My goddamn in-laws drank up all the beer. I brought 24 beers. They're tall boys, 16-ounce cans. My goddamn family can drink their ass off. I was proud of them for consuming the best IPA in America. But Jesus Christ, I was heartbroken that I didn't have any more beer to drink. So I sat there with my thumb up my ass. And you know, it's about that time where you got to pull plug on everything. And my wife and I don't like to leave Callie and Mula at the house too long by themselves. So, you know, I looked at my wife. I give her the secret signal. And I said, all right, I scheduled the driver to come get our ass. They showed up. It is raining cats and dogs. And when you get to my in-law's place, once you get there, when you get inside the house, it's 10 foot worth of stairs down. So now we're going 10 foot worth of stairs up. And I'm back behind my mother-in-law, pushing her up them damn stairs, hanging on to her, trying to make sure she don't fall down. Last thing we need to do, is to have my mother-in-law fall down the stairs on Thanksgiving evening. So we get up the stairs. I got my mother-in-law safe and sound, load her ass into the SUV in a shotgun seat. This guy's wide awake. We asked him, dude, are you all right? Last driver was falling asleep. How are you? He assures us he is fine. Holy shit. We get on the damn road, finally get to the house. Callie and Mula are thrilled to see us. We're glad to be home. You know what? The biggest thing I was thankful for was getting fucking home safely after I took a ride service to get there just to take the wheel out of my hands and to be safe. I swear to God, I thought a global icon, a national treasure, his wife, and his illustrious grandmother were going to get killed. Nonetheless, we are fine. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Here's the thing about Thanksgiving, man. I was looking at the weather reports across the United States and looking at all the travel stuff, people getting their flights canceled. You talk about a pain in the ass. To everybody that floods into the airports, and LAX was just stacked. Traffic was backed up about 10 or 20 miles. I don't know if it's worth it. Then again, it's family, so I guess it is worth it, but I don't know if I'll be going to San Clemente next year. I think my ass is going to be in Nevada at my ranch, or I will be over here at 316 Gimmick Street, and I ain't leaving the fucking house. Old man winter is out there laying the smack down with all the snow, ice, and freezing rain this season. So what sense does it make for you to get in your car and brave the elements just to get all your office supplies in order when you can find them all in one place? The geniuses at Zorro.com figured out how to make your life easier by having all your office supplies in one easy-to-access location. Zorro.com, spelled Z-O-R-O, is where you'll find everything you need for businesses of any size and almost any industry. Electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, don't sweat it because Zorro has you covered. Zorro.com has tools and equipment, safety and office supplies, cleaning items, and more from brands you know and trust, such as Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Schneider, and Rubbermaid, just to name a few. Zorro.com offers amazing customer service from real people based in the U.S., and you'll appreciate the fast, free shipping on orders of $50 or more. Just for listeners of the Steve Austin Show, visit Zorro.com/Austin to sign up for Zmail and get 15% off your first order. Again, that's Zorro.com/Austin for 15% off your first order. Zorro.com/Austin. Get it all in one place.
During the season of giving, we'd like to offer you a little something special, and all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time. We need you to complete a short survey because your opinion matters to us and helps support the show. It'll only take a couple of minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastone.study, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.study. The first 150 people to complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. So please go to podcastone.study, and as always, thank you for supporting the show. And happy holidays from all of us at Podcast One.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
Quick a beer. I want to tell you about my mule deer hunt I got coming up. So as I'm recording the podcast right now, it's Sunday evening. Tomorrow morning, yesterday as you listen to this podcast, I will have left and gone to the Broken Skull Ranch in Nevada. We're going to get there on Monday. I think my mule deer hunt is on the 11th. So as soon as I get in, I'll unpack and I'll get all my shit ready, and then I'll go sight in my deer rifle. Now, every single year or every single time you hunt, you've got to make sure your rifle's dialed in. Last time we was at the Broken Skull Ranch, I tried to load up all my shit. I put everything in my pickup truck, my targets, my spot and scope, my bags of lead pellets, my rest, my ammunition, everything that I needed. Picked up my buddy, Jim Irwin. Went down to the shooting range. Man, I figured that whole shooting range was just going to be completely empty. It was the middle of the week. Why would anybody else be there? The weather wasn't that great. Who's going to be shooting? We roll up. There ain't a damn spot on a table nowhere. And there's finally one little spot clears up, and you've got guys out there. There's two different ranges. There's a pistol range and then a rifle range is right next door. And so the guys at the pistol range are usually shooting about 10 yards, 20 yards, some out to, 40 or whatever, but they're just shooting paper targets, standing there, working on technique and draws and shooting. over there on the rifle side of things, you've got, you know, anything and everything from like, an AR-15 to long, bolt guns to, people shooting this long range stuff. But the range only goes to 300 yards, but 300 yards is long enough to dial in a gun, because I want my zero at 100, but then I want to see where I'm at 300, just so I kind of get my dope on my scope so I know what I'm shooting at. So if I make a shot, I want to connect. We roll up over there, man. I said, God dang, Jim. I said, man, I had a bad experience at a shooting range one time. It wasn't a bad experience. It's just when you're shooting at a shooting range and there's a bunch of people there, because I've been to this range a bunch of times, when there's like, two, three, four people there and you're all on the same page and there's mutual respect and everybody can give you, give everybody a heads up. And, when it's time to stop the shooting and go down and check targets, you call cold range. Everybody, opens the bolt to the gun, leaves it open, empties it, leaves it on the table. Everybody goes down range to check their stuff. Okay, everybody comes back. Everybody's cool. Hot range. Everybody's shooting. Everybody's on the same line. Everybody's shooting down range. Ain't no range master out there. There's at least 15 guys shooting rifles down there. When you get down there and you're checking your target and you're 200-300 yards, or if you're 50 or 100 yards down range, and all of a sudden you think, hey man, someone's going to have a bad day, and all of a sudden, if they wanted to, you would become a target. So I'm real picky about where I shoot when I shoot. Most of the times I'll go out with my buddy Jim, and we have access to this range, which is basically out in the middle of the desert. He has target steel plates set up from 100 yards all the way out to 700 yards. And so, man, you talk about the ultimate shooting experience. You just get there, get in your sandbag on a table, in a chair, perfect rest, and then, he's telling you, which target to shoot, when to shoot, and that's the best way to get your gun dialed in. It's a lot of fun shooting targets. And then because you're the only one there and you're shooting steel plates, you don't need to go downrange and no one is ever behind you. So that's the way I prefer to do it. But because we're in a hurry, we didn't get a chance to do that. So I'm going to take my ass out to the shooting range and make sure that I get my gun dialed in, because if I get a shot this year, I'm going to make sure that my gun is dialed in. Real interesting, a couple of years ago, I was hunting with my brother-in-law, and we had just sold the Broken Skull Ranch, and this is going to be my first time to go out there and hunt mule deer. Hell, I've always hunted whitetail deer in South Texas. And hunting whitetail deer in South Texas, especially if you're in a high fence place, it's a whole different ball game, because you're not shooting any long shots. You're basically trying to manage your population. You can take a trophy, you can do this, that, or whatever, but it's not like you're taking long shots, because you don't need to. But it's a whole different experience. I found that out, my first time when I went mule deer hunting with my brother-in-law a couple of years. I found that out when I went on my first mule deer hunt with my brother-in-law a couple of years ago. And all of a sudden we pulled a buggy over, and him and his buddy get their tripods out there with their spotting scopes. And they sit back in these little chairs and they start looking. And I'm just kind of walking around with my thumb up my ass and my gun. And I said, hey man, what exactly are we doing? And they said, well, we're looking anywhere from 3 to 5 miles out. Why don't you look, 1,000 yards in? And I'm thinking, how is this going to work? Out there in Nevada, you're hunting open country. You're not hunting over bait. You are hunting in the wild. In Texas and in some states, you are allowed to hunt under bait. Well, really, when you look at it for what it is, it's kind of cheating. Because if you're in the brush country of South Texas, you're trying to draw the deer out of the brush using bait, the bait being the corn. It is what it is. It's legal, so I can't say that it ain't fair. But if you're talking about fair chase, it ain't really fair. So anyway, I'm thinking, holy fuck, this is going to be a real different experience. And so we start glassing, and here's the thing. When you're hunting mule deer, just because of the way they operate, because of their terrain, because of their nature and how smart they are, it seems like the whitetail has a better nose. The whitetail is more aggressive. But that damn mule deer, they are the masters of knowing how to hide. So when you pull over to a spot to glass, that means get out your binoculars or your spotting scope or whatever, you're looking at an area, I mean, that goes on forever. And so I'm just thinking, okay, I'm looking for a deer just to pop out or just see one standing there broadside. It don't happen like that. The mule deer has a white ass. Now, the white-tailed deer has a white tail on the backside of his tail. When it flashes it up, that's when it turns white. But normally it'll keep it down. Now, the mule deer just kind of has a white circular ass. So it's something that is easy to spot if you can spot it amongst all the brush and the rocks and stuff like that. But it's a marker that you're looking for. You're also looking for the tip of a horn and antler against a rock or sticking out from behind a brush or a sagebrush. Are you looking for like a horizontal line of a back? You're looking for anything. You're looking for a nose. You have to study the brush. You have to study the terrain. You just can't glance and gloss over it. You can't pick anything out like that. It's very intensive. And you have to train your eyes to look for these small details. That first year that I mule deer hunted with my brother-in-law, I was like, God damn, this is so much different than hunting the brush country of South Texas. To a degree, you're looking for the same lines in South Texas, but you're really trying to draw them out of the brush so that you see them right there in front of a feeder. If you're looking for them in the brush, yeah, you can see a horn, you can see an eye, you can see part of a tail, but you're not going to make that shot because they're deep in the brush. You're trying to draw them out in the open. So it really takes a trained eye to look for these details. We'd be riding around in the buggy, I mean, just with a naked eye. And one of my brother-in-law's buddies would say, hey, Mitch, stop the buggy. Up ahead, about 2 miles on the left. Sure enough, I'm looking. I don't see shit. I pick up my binoculars, and there they are. Antelope everywhere. And these guys saw them with a naked eye. Or you're driving along. Mitch, right over there to the right. It's a bunch of bighorn sheep. And when you pick up your damn binoculars, it looks like a bunch of ants walking around. And sure enough, they're bighorn sheep. We're looking for mule deer, or then sometimes you'll spot antelope. These guys have been doing this so long, their eyes are trained to look for these kind of things. It's unbelievable. Anyway, to tell you about the hunt, you know, we was driving along, and all of a sudden, Royce in the back says, hey, man, Mitch, it's a big-ass buck over on the left. Mitch says, God damn, Steve, get your gun. Man, I unbungee corded my gun, got it out of the case. Anyway, the shot I made was, I think it was 164 or 184 yards. I ranged him real quick. He told me to shoot, and I did. I was expecting, because of the way the big country is over there, I was expecting to make anywhere between a 300- and 500-yard shot. And that deer ended up scoring 175. Now, there's bigger deer out there, but that's a damn good deer. And so, anyway, the next year we went, and on the first day of a 5-day hunt, I passed on a 150 class buck. That's a pretty good deer, especially when you're out there in the wild country and you're in a particular unit and you don't know how good that unit is, and maybe you've scouted it, maybe you haven't. I didn't scout it because I didn't have the time to get out there and scout it. So I passed on that buck, thinking because that one buck that I ended up taking on the first day of my hunt, because we rolled up on him because he was in the rut with 8 does and was really stupid because testosterone was ruling his brain, I figured, hey, mule deer hunting is easy. Horse shit, it ain't easy. Sometimes things happen and you luck up on one or you see one, and that's all great. But easy, it is not. They know how to hide. So when I passed on that 150, we hunted for 4 more days, and I didn't see shit. We saw a bunch of does, but at the end of the day, or at the end of the hunt, I got skunked. So this time, I go into this hunt with the knowledge of, okay, we lucked up on a buck in rut, and he was a good one, and I took him. Next year, I passed on about a 150 class buck, a good buck. I would have liked a better buck, but I passed and I got skunked. This year, I don't want to get skunked. So the decision-making process should be very interesting, to say the least. And it's also interesting about this. When you're out there, and if you're glassing 3 to 5 miles out, or you see something 1 to 2 miles out, I'm not throwing out that, discounting that yardage or that distance, whatever you see, you see, but you can't make a direct approach to that animal because he's going to see you. And like if you're hunting antelope, antelope have 8 power eyes. So everything they see, if you see an antelope way out there and they're looking back at you, you look 8 times closer than they do looking at them. So they have the advantage. So once you make a spot on something, if that's an animal that you want to take, well, then there goes all your planning and your strategy. What are we going to do to go around that mountain, to come back this way and get off a shot? And can you make that shot without spooking that animal? So anyway, I'm looking forward to getting out there, and I think I have 11 days. We won't hunt 11 days straight because I've got some other things to do out there, and the conditions might get pretty shitty, so we'll see what happens. Here's what I do know. When I show up, I'm going to bring a bottle of Jack Daniels, and I'm going to bring a bunch of Broken Skull IPA. Last year, I went out to the Deer Creek Ranch out there in Winnemucca, Nevada, in Unit 034, and I went out there with the intentions of drying out because we was fixing to film a TV show, so I was trying to start the process of getting in shape. Well, when I start getting in shape, I do not drink. Well, I went out there, had all my health food with me, had all my meals packed. And when you show up like that, and when you're an athlete and you're trying to be on TV and you're on a set diet, when you get back and your brother-in-law drinks Jack Daniels and eats Cheetos and everything or whatever and sandwiches for dinner, you're expected to have a goddamn drink. I told him, I said, Mitch, I said, I'm not drinking this time. I said, I got to kind of slow it down and get back in shape. He goes, oh, bullshit. You're not going to not drink on us, are you? I said, man, I just can't do it. I said, I got to get in shape. He goes, all right, we'll see. Sure enough, me being of iron will, and if I make up my mind to do something, I am going to do it. I ain't drinking. So that first night goes by. We get back from the hunt. Understand, when we get up out there, you're getting up at about 4 a.m, you're leaving at 5, you drive about an hour, you back your buggy off the trailer, and then you ride about 20, 25, 30 miles back, and then you hunt all day, and you glass, and you travel, and you're working your ass off, and you're picking through brush, and you're looking at stuff. It is an all-day process, and it drains your ass. Then, when darkness hits, you drive your way back to the trailer, put your buggy back on the trailer, drive an hour back to camp. It's 8, 8:30 p.m. by then, so you have something, have a couple of cocktails, and you take your ass to bed because it's a vicious cycle. We got back after that first hunt, and I said, man, I said, I ain't doing it. I ain't drinking. Boy, I swear to God, there was damn near mutiny on the Bounty. Everybody thought I was the biggest asshole in the world because I wasn't going to have a fucking drink with them. So since I learned my lesson, since it damn near caused a rift between myself and my brother-in-law, I will be taking down 2 bottles of Jack. Maybe I'll just take a big 1.75 liter, call it square. And I'm going to make sure this time I go by the protocol and have a couple of drinks with my buddies. Because, you know, he always brings his buddies out there, and you got to have those extra eyes out there to help you spot this stuff. So it will be very interesting this year. I'm looking forward to getting out there, and I'm looking forward to getting in the outdoors. It's been a very different adjustment because normally beginning of November through December through the first 10 days of January, we used to spend at the Broken Skull Ranch managing our deer herd, culling out all the undesirable deers and shooting 1 or 2 trophies, then going back and taking the does out that needed to be taken out. By the end of the season, you know, I had personally taken, you know, anywhere between 20 and 40 deer because no one else hunted at the place, and that was my management numbers. It is so refreshing to be able to go out on an opportunity to take one animal and to be fortunate enough to draw a tag to go out into the wild and harvest an animal. I'm going for mule deer this year. This is a guide hunt with my brother-in-law from Nevada Hunting Services. He's the best guide in Nevada. Look him up and look up his credentials. He's also probably one of the best trappers in the region. Well, he is. And so hopefully he's got the area scouted. We'll see if I'm successful. And I've also been able to hunt some antelope out there. And that is an interesting hunt as well. But my point is, I get a chance over the course of 1 year, 365 days, to take two animals. And my wife doesn't eat meat, but I do. And I eat every single thing off that mule deer and off that antelope. So hopefully I don't get skunked. We will see what happens. Hey, before I leave, I want to say thank you guys to everybody on the East Coast for supporting Broken Skull IPA. I'm so excited to be out there on the East Coast. We are in New Jersey, New York, and Massachusetts, and we have a whole lot more beer coming your way. And I know we're in Oregon. We've been in Oregon for a little bit. We're shipping more over there as we speak. To my folks down there in my home state of Texas, which I miss dearly. Holy shit. I still have some property in Texas. I'm not living in Texas, but goddamn, I miss Texas. I miss the dirt roads and the senderos of South Texas, and I miss the hills and the oak trees and everything in the hill country. And that's kind of where my stomping grounds were. I didn't get too much over to the Piney Woods in East Texas, but I sure miss Texas a whole lot. I miss it so much, I'm bringing Broken Skull IPA to Texas in 2020. Texas is a hard state to sell beer in. There's a lot of hoops you got to jump through, but nonetheless, I think we'll be there in 2020 along with about six or eight other states. So I appreciate everybody for supporting the beer. I'm very proud of it, and I'm looking forward to continue to grow the beer because that's how much I think of it. I also want to thank everybody for watching the Broken Skull Sessions with The Undertaker on the WWE Network. It's a show that I'm having a lot of fun with. Bill Goldberg is my next guest. I think that will air after a pay-per-view in December. I don't want to drop the date because off the top of my head, I don't know what the date is. But I had a lot of fun talking with Bill. He's a very interesting guy, and he had a fantastic run. And it was cool just to sit down and shoot the breeze with him. And that's the bottom line, because I said so. And also, I'm working on my new projects right now are, I'm working on Blue, my 66 Chevy pickup truck. I'm working on my 74 Chevy Z28 Camaro. And you know what? I think I'm going to put a car up for sale on the, two of them, actually. I believe I'm going to sell my 1995 Ford Bronco, and I think I'm going to sell my 2017 Corvette Z06/Z07. Has the 07 package. It's completely loaded, and that car has 2,000 miles. My Ford Bronco is a 95. I put the automatic mirrors on. I took the manual mirrors off. I didn't like them. That vehicle has 42,000 miles. But I think I'm going to put them on eBay. If you're interested in either one of them, send me a message on Instagram at Steve Austin BSR. I'm also on Twitter at Steve Austin BSR. Folks, coming back with a guest this coming week. Stay tuned. Appreciate you listening to the show. And that's the bottom line, because I said so. All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast and ride off in sunset. But before I do, I want to thank myself for being here and drinking my beer in my studio, delivering some stories to you. Hopefully you enjoyed them. And don't forget to rate and review the Steve Austin Show on Apple Podcasts and tell your friends to check us out. If you want to reach me here on the podcast about my cars or about anything, someone you want me to interview, send an email to questions@steveaustinshow.com. Again, thanks for the support on Broken Skull IPA. ElSegundoBrewing.com. Check out that website to find out where you can find it in an area near you. King of Attitude shirts would make a great Christmas present this year. You can find them at ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin. We just released 4 or 5 new designs. Broken Skull Ranch shirts are still there as well. Great stock and stuffer. Don't forget to check them out. Speaking of Christmas gifts, a pocket knife would be one of the most handiest, thoughtful, useful gifts that a person could give someone. I got two. Cold Steel, Broken Skull Knife, Cold Steel, Working Man's Knife at my Amazon store. Amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin. I want to say one more thank you to all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show, especially Zorro.com, Lightstream, Geico, BetOnline.ag. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. Please support them because they support us. If you need more info on my sponsors, check out the show description to this episode for details. Folks, when you see me in the woods, I will proudly be riding a Kawasaki, and that's the bottom line. Until next time, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
This has been a Podcast One production. Download new episodes of The Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.